This is Sheffield Live.
Protect your business from costly HR mistakes with Bayani Bracewell's Bulletproof Protection Plan. Providing complete protection for your business, the plan makes it simple for you to manage the demands of ever-changing employment law. Call 0114 272 1884 or visit bayanibracewell.co.uk. Bayani Bracewell's Bulletproof Protection Plan. Peace of mind for you, complete protection for your business.
We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's Friday, the 11th of July, 2014. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'm your presenter for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business show, Business Live. Broadcasting as ever, live on 93.2 FM and through our internet live stream. And the show will also be available as a podcast later from our website. And what a week it's been for Sheffield and for Yorkshire, with over 2.5 million turning out to watch a certain bicycle race, and businesses able to capitalise on the visitors and the attention from all over the UK and the world. In today's show, we have interviews with business competitiveness expert, consultant and author Andy Hanselman, and with international trade manager of the International Trade Centre of South Yorkshire, Nick Patrick. Before we turn to our guests, some business news. The Church of England has sold its indirect stake in Wonga, ending its association with the high-interest online lender that came under scrutiny for sending customers bogus letters. The indirect investment exposure to Wonga in the church's venture capital portfolio had been removed, according to the commissioners who managed the church's investment portfolio. They are pegging the value of the investment at considerably less than 0.01% of the worth of Britain's biggest payday lender, Wonga, which made a profit of £62.5 million in 2012. Back in January, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, pledged to drive Britain's payday lenders out of business by supporting credit unions as an alternative. And in June, Britain's financial watchdog ordered Wonga to pay £2.6 million in compensation to 45,000 customers for sending them fraudulent letters from non-existent law firms. The Sheffield City Region has secured the fifth largest growth deal. Local leaders from the public and the private sector have secured a £320 million boost for the Sheffield City Region, which is set to create over 28,000 jobs and training for 40,000 people. Deputy Prime Minister Nick Clegg was in the City Region last Friday to confirm the final investment, which is through the Local Enterprise Partnership. £50 million of the funding will mean that the LEP can extend its business investment and support programme and create 4,000 new jobs for local people. And commenting on the LEP securing the money, Richard Wright, who's the Executive Director of Sheffield Chamber, welcomed the announcement and said the challenge now is how the money will be spent and what return we'll get from it. He said businesses would ask for three things. Firstly, that the money is invested against the return it achieves. Secondly, that any money getting to business is not tied up in too much bureaucracy. And thirdly, that the decisions are made against the regional benefit. He said the LEP provides us that opportunity and we must take hard commercial decisions if we really want long-term sustainable growth. Now, what do you think? I'd welcome your views. As ever, you can get in touch with this programme. You can email comp@sheffieldlive.org. You can text 07904 272 200. You can tweet us at Sheffield Live. Find us on Facebook, and we're on LinkedIn too. Listeners to the show last week heard Aldo Monteforti, who's the Chief Executive Officer of The Flow. And The Flow have this week announced a 15% investment from the Direct Line Insurance Group. The Flow is a UK-based specialist telematics service provider, which has created over 30 jobs in Sheffield, and it has a rapidly growing global client base in the insurance and related segments. Aldo said he's excited by this financial investment, supporting the expansion of the business, and is confident it's going to accelerate development of their business for the benefit of clients and prospects. Now, if you want to listen to the full interview that we had with Aldo last week, that was before this investment had been announced, you can just go to shows on the Sheffield Live website, find Business Live, and then find the podcast of last week, and you can hear all about the flow in an interview with Aldo. A couple of upcoming events. Sheffield Live Television will be screening an exclusive preview screening of shows that are going to be on the new digital television channel for Sheffield, which will be launching on Freeview Channel 8 on cable and the internet this autumn. Preview screening takes place on Thursday the 24th of July from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. at the Showroom Cinema. You can find details on the Sheffield Live website, sheffieldlive.org. Come along. Now, on Friday 25th of July, a workshop for social enterprises called Marketing Skills Connect with Your Customer. That's being run by the South Yorkshire Community Foundation. And declaring my interest, I'm running part of it with a colleague, Andy Stamp. It's aimed at social enterprises who have developed a clear business proposition or started trading and wish to increase their turnover. You can find details on Eventbrite. Just search for Marketing Skills Seminar Sheffield, 25th of July. Now, just to stress, we always welcome your views on the business news. You can get in touch with the programme, as I said before, by email comp@sheffieldlive.org, text 07904 272 200, tweet us at Sheffield Live, or find me on Twitter too, at Jamie Veach. Whether you're starting or running a business, whether you're self-employed, or if you're an employer, we're keen to hear from you. So turning now to our guests. And I'm very pleased to have in the studio Nick Patrick, who's the Head of International Trade at the South Yorkshire International Trade Centre. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Jamie.
I also am joined in the studio by consultant, author, business competitiveness expert, Andy Hanselman. Morning, Andy.
Good morning, Jamie. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And you?
Great.
Good. Now, thank you both for joining me. Andy, we're going to talk in depth about your ideas for how businesses can boost profits and can boost sustainability later on in the programme. But I'm going to turn, first of all, to Nick. Nick, you joined us on the programme a few weeks ago, and you told us about the Overseas Business Network Initiative, a great initiative for businesses in Sheffield and the city region, helping them to learn how to export and to meet people with whom they can do business. And you've had your first Overseas Business Network event quite recently. How did it go?
Jamie, yes, it was very successful, thank you. We had about 35 or so companies who came to the event, over 50 people, and it was very successful. We had people there from Singapore, from Indonesia, China, India, and Slovakia. And it was a free event that we put on. We provided lunch as well, but we feel it is really important to open up this business network to Sheffield companies so that they can come and meet the people and have a direct contact within that country who is really paid to wait for such inquiries coming in, and they will provide them with market information. They will help them find an agent or a distributor that already supply to their typical customer base in other countries or in the UK. It was very successful.
Fantastic. And so you have another event coming up. It's taking place next week. And this time you've got representatives from Chile, I believe, Colombia, Mexico, the Philippines, Singapore,
yes.
Romania. Really interesting spread of countries. Mm-hmm. In attendance.
Yeah. Well, it just so happens that from the 1st of June to the end of August, there is the International Festival of Business, which is running over in Liverpool.
Yes.
And a lot of these individuals are visiting the UK for this particular festival. And next week there is an awful lot coming off. So I really wanted to, while they're in the UK, I really wanted to try and get them to come over to Sheffield. I want them to come to Sheffield. I want them to see the magnificent manufacturing facilities we have here, the technology, because I want them to get excited by the excellence of industry in Sheffield. And it isn't just industry and manufacturing. You know, they'll cater for all businesses, whether it's digital and media or whatever. So while they are in the UK, I want to get as many of them over here as I possibly can. They've got very busy schedules, of course, but it just so happens that in June I could get the countries over that we've just mentioned, and at the end of next week, Friday the 18th, we've got the same event, but this time with the different countries.
And the event next Friday is free to attend.
Yes.
It's at the Chambers headquarters.
Yes.
But people, do they have to book in advance?
Yes, we would like you to book in advance because, A, we need numbers really for insurance reasons.
Yes.
We do like to have name badges printed in advance so that it's much easier to go up and talk to somebody and you know their name and where they're from. And also, we need it for catering. We do provide lunch, and we want to know how many people we need to cater for, which is more important than anything.
Of course, absolutely. And people can book, of course, at the SYITC website.
Yes, they can. Yeah.
But before we give out that link, we'll tell them a little bit more about the program. You'll be doing an introduction on the day, and I think you've got Lorraine Holt in attendance of the Chambers of Commerce and the Overseas Business Network, and you'll be making introductions at the event as well, won't you?
Yes, we will. I mean, the whole idea is for it to be a fairly, not casual, but not informal, but, you know, a relaxed event where people turn up at about 11:30. We want to register people and give them their badges. And then at about 12 o'clock, I just will stand up and make the introductions and welcome everybody in and do the normal housekeeping stuff. But then I'll hand over to Lorraine. Now, Lorraine is the regional representative for the British Chambers of Commerce. Lorraine works out of the Hull and Humber Chamber. There are, I think, 7 or 8 regional representatives, and so Lorraine is the representative for Yorkshire. She will explain to the visitors what the Overseas Business Network is, why it's come about, how it will help companies and individuals to target specific markets and to meet people within those markets who are there to help them. That's the important thing. And then we will introduce each of the overseas visitors. They will be given an opportunity to stand up and just talk for 5 minutes or so about their particular role in the country, their particular involvement in business, and what they can do for Sheffield, South Yorkshire, and indeed Yorkshire and Humberside businesses. And then, basically, Jamie, we will have lunch. During that lunch, people will be able to talk, meet personally the overseas visitors, and if need be, there can be one-to-one meetings. We have meeting rooms set up for that.
Great. So those visitors, those international visitors, they're going to have lots of people who will want to talk to them because there are great opportunities here for businesses. Now, the last event, you mentioned highly successful in terms of attendance, and you'll have watched as people brokered their introductions on the day, hopefully laid the foundations for some deals and so on. That must have been very exciting for you to see.
Well, it is very exciting for us to see. It's even more exciting to see the email feedbacks that we're getting because, of course, you know, while we want to be involved in the loop of subsequent discussions and emails, we can't be doing it all. So the whole idea is that that the business people coming to the event introduce themselves to the particular overseas business representative and then take it from there. And the email correspondence that's been going on since the event we had on the 23rd of June has been actually magnificent and left the overseas business individuals with actually a lot of work to do, which is what we want. Because at the end of the day, you know, we need to generate more export as a country. We need to generate more export as a region, and we need to generate more export as Sheffield and South Yorkshire. That is absolutely crucial.
We do indeed, and I think it'd be remiss of me at this stage not to mention the rather large sporting event which I talked about at the start of the show. Tour de France came to Sheffield, and that showcased the region. It showcased our city. Is it going to be a great lasting legacy from that, do you think, in your view, Nick?
From a pure business point of view, I'm not sure. I mean, I think it did great for certain areas of business and certainly tourism. I wasn't in Sheffield on that day, but I did watch bits of it on the television, and I was struck by how beautiful the you know, county of Yorkshire is. And I understand that numbers for bookings to visit this area or the whole of Yorkshire have just gone through the roof. So that is fantastic, and obviously that's going to have an impact. But it does showcase Yorkshire to the whole of the world.
Yes.
And that is important because the world knows where Yorkshire is. So, yes, it's going to have an impact.
Great. And we talked also at start about the growth deal, the local enterprise partnership, and the £320 million growth deal, which has been agreed now with government, between government and the LEP. Now, that's going to go into a number of things. It's going to go into a skills bank, training, business investment and support, infrastructure improvements to the city centre as well, I understand, transport links, links to housing and employment, and, I believe, into an extended airport link road to the Doncaster-Sheffield airport. Mm-hmm. So, again, this cash, Richard Wright at the Chamber has talked about how we need to be careful in terms of how the cash is spent so it has sustainability. But again, I'd like to ask your view on the growth deal and how it will be beneficial for the city region and for Sheffield and for businesses wanting to export. Do you see this as positive?
Of course it is. Any investment into any of those things you mentioned, whether it's a support road, whether it's improvement of infrastructure, skills funding is absolutely crucial. We have high-tech businesses in Sheffield. We need high-tech people. And it is the people who make the difference. So, of course, any investment of this type is very, very positive. And, you know, well done to all those concerned who sort of brought it about. But obviously we have to echo Richard's comments on what to do now and where it is spent. To make sure that we are going to get the maximum benefit out of it is key and fundamental. But I do, the people involved in this, in Sheffield, in South Yorkshire, the city region, they're very good. They know what they're doing. And I think we've got a good balanced range of people who are in the mix, and I think it will be positive. But of course, Richard is right. We've got to just make sure that we keep our eye on profitability, value for purpose, and putting it in the right areas.
Great. Well, thank you for that, Nick. And we'll give your event next week another quick mention. It's taking place a week today, July the 18th. It's a free event. It starts at 11:30, runs through till about 3, free lunch as well. And the event will enable Sheffield businesses to meet with representatives from Chile, from Colombia, Mexico, the Philippines, Romania, Slovakia and Singapore to discuss exports from the region. The event's organised by the South Yorkshire International Trade Centre. Nick Patrick is here with me. And Nick, people can book at your website, can't they? Do you want to just give that a mention?
Yeah, this is important. We don't want people to register in advance. The website is obviously www.syitc.com. And if they go to the events tab, they'll see it there. It is actually not just a South Yorkshire or Sheffield City Region event. It is actually a Yorkshire and Humberside event, and we will have other chambers present.
Yes. Yep.
So that's important to realise. But yes, if we can go to our website and register, we do want as many people as possible. It is a wonderful opportunity to get a key contact in any of these markets, and they're all high-growth markets. That they are wanting to buy materials from us here in Yorkshire. And that's important. And while we're on, Jamie, I would just like to say next week is a very busy week. We have another event on Thursday the 17th.
Right.
And this is actually being held at the Forest Pines Hotel in Broughton, which is North Links. It's just off the junction with the M18 and 180. And it's being organised once again by Yorkshire and Humberside Chamber. It's Dubai. Our overseas business representative from Dubai will be there from the Middle East. It's very important. And if anybody wants information about that, please contact me. I'm contactable through the website. I'm sure people can get hold of me through other means. We're very active on Twitter, at SYITC. And then on Tuesday and Wednesday, running with the Liverpool Chamber of Commerce, we've got a couple of days which are part of the International Festival of Business,
yep.
And that's called the Power of the Chamber Global Network. So any of these
a busy
events,
week ahead.
It's a busy week, but please get involved because it is a very good way of getting those introductions.
Magnificent. Well, Nick Patrick, thanks very much for joining me today. And I'd encourage listeners to take a look at the South Yorkshire International Trade Centre's website, syitc.com. Have a look at the events tab. Go along. These events can really help you and boost your business. And we're going to play a track of music now by Sheffield singer-songwriter David J. Roach, who's not only making waves in our fine city, but making waves internationally. This particular track has now been used several times on a major American television series. It's called Skin and Bones.
This is Sheffield Live.
Protect your business from costly HR mistakes with Bayani Bracewell's Bulletproof Protection Plan. Providing complete protection for your business, the plan makes it simple for you to manage the demands of ever-changing employment law. Call 0114 272 1884 or visit bayanibracewell.co.uk. Bayani Bracewell's Bulletproof Protection Plan. Peace of mind for you, complete protection for your business.
We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's Friday the 11th of July and you're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live with me, Jamie Veitch. We're broadcasting on 93.2 FM and through our internet live stream at sheffieldlive.org. And of course, this show will also be available as a podcast later from our website. The track you've just heard a few minutes ago was David J. Roach, Skin and Bones. And that track is now getting international attention because it's been used on American network TV shows. David J. Roach, of course, Sheffield singer-songwriter. And but a huge export. Now, we played that because we were talking with Nick Patrick of the South Yorkshire International Trade Centre beforehand. And reminder, you can go to their website, find out more about what they're up to and visit the events that Nick was talking about. But joining me now in the studio is Andy Hanselman. Andy, hello again.
Hello there, Nick. Jamie, sorry, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you today?
Yeah, good, thank you.
It's
very, very
warm.
Good.
It's warm in our studio.
It's very warm. Let's hope it's warm for the weekend.
Well, let's hope so, eh? Yes, indeed. So thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
Now, Andy, you're a business competitiveness expert, a consultant. You help all sorts of businesses. Many listeners to this show will know of you, know about you. You're an author as well. You've written you've written a book that I'm holding up now that revolutionised the profitability of your business, a step-by-step guide to seriously improving your bottom line. Now, that's a big claim to make.
It certainly is. It's a one I wrote about 4 or 5 years ago now. Yeah. Still use it. Hopefully, it's still relevant today. It's one of a couple of books I've written.
Indeed.
And the thing I'd like to stress at the beginning, it's not profits at any cost. It's an integral part of how you grow and develop your business, clearly.
Absolutely. And I'd really like to unpack some of that.
Sure.
That's very interesting. I know you've got other books, or you're writing another book at the moment.
That's right, yeah.
You also, of course, you do your own podcast every week, Thinking yes. in 3D with Andy Hanselman, that people can listen to from your website.
Yes, it's literally a three-minute audio every Monday morning. They can get it on iTunes or they can get it from the website. It's just something I found, again, a little bit sort of dramatically different to get your message across rather than just a normal newsletter. And we seem to get some great comments from it, and people sign up for it and hopefully contribute back. So that's what we're looking to do with it.
And that's part of your USP as well, really, getting businesses to think differently and to do things dramatically differently too.
That's right. And sometimes it can be very, very simple little things, you know, really strange things like law firms that return your calls and things like that actually are dramatically and demonstrably different.
Gosh, think of that.
But it is. It's finding a bundle of things that differentiate your business, and we work a lot on helping businesses think in 3D, which is about being dramatically and demonstrably different.
Absolutely. So before we unpack some of your ideas and talk about some of your tips for businesses, again, I put the same question to you that I put to Nick, which is the Tour de France.
Yes.
And I know you've commented on the Tour in this week's podcast.
Yes. Yeah.
But for the benefit of our listeners, what are your thoughts on the Tour?
I thought it was absolutely fantastic. Might be a bit sad, but the week before, Jill and my wife, we actually drove the route from York all the way around to Sheffield just to get a feel for it, see what it was like.
Brilliant.
We had quite a few friends came up from Cheltenham and the south for the weekend.
Yes.
So again, straight away, it was bringing Southern pounds into the Sheffield area.
Yes.
And I thought the whole experience was fantastic, but I did sort of comment one of the whole things for me was Gary Verity, who set it up. I just thought it was a great example of what we call getting that vision thing. It was about painting a picture of what you want to do that sort of stimulates, excites, inspires people. And 4 years ago, he came up with the idea and managed to gather lots and lots of people over a period of time. And I'll be honest, I think some gathered literally on the Sunday morning, but suddenly went, hold on a minute, this is great. And I just thought, great example of painting a picture of what you want, getting people to buy into it and working incredibly hard to make it work. So I just think it was a major success. We got texts and emails from friends saying, wow, can't believe how brilliant Sheffield looks.
Yes.
Thinking of you and all that sort of thing. So I thought it was wonderful, and let's have it again next year. I'd love it. I'm sure we won't, but we can have something.
It was fantastic, wasn't it? And Christian Prudhomme, who's the director of the Tour de France, saying the best Grand Depart ever.
Absolutely.
And the riders themselves talking about the scenery, but not only the scenery, the crowds as well. Yeah. That Yorkshire spirit.
Absolutely.
Brilliant.
And I think it's this thing, again, we talk about exceeding expectations, and I think that's what it did. And again, to be honest, I watched on Saturday, maybe a little bit nervous, as will Sheffield be able to deliver at the same level? And I think we exceeded expectations. We got more watching it than they did. So I think it wasn't just Yorkshire, it was Sheffield did very, very well.
It did. And, of course, in Sheffield as well on Saturday, wonderful set of music events with the Selector playing on Saturday night, legendary ska band.
Fantastic.
And, which some of my colleagues here at Sheffield Live went to see.
Yeah.
Loads going on in the city centre, which, of course, gave a massive boost.
Absolutely.
To the city
centre. On the Sunday, we brought our friends in from Cheltenham into the city centre. We're in the Peace Gardens on the big screen, and there was just a great feel and a great vibe for it, so it was wonderful.
Yeah, there was indeed. And lining the route, I mean, a lot of people have gone along to the sweet spots of Uterbridge, for example.
Yeah.
And, of course, there was a beer festival over the weekend out at Bradwell, but it wasn't just those sweet spots.
No, it wasn't.
It was the whole route.
Absolutely.
I mean, Cote de Jenkin.
Yeah.
Astounding.
Yeah. It was
thousands
unbelievable.
Thousands and thousands. And that was magnificent.
Yeah.
And the Don Valley was absolutely thronged.
It was.
People.
We went to Don Valley Park and we actually watched. We were very lucky. We were invited by Dave Baldwin of Stuxnet Interiors. The race went past his offices in Attercliffe. Yeah. So we watched it there. with a barbecue and a few beers, and it was fantastic. It was spectacular.
It was indeed. So what a great thing for the city.
Yep.
What a great thing for Yorkshire. And yes, you're talking about Gary Verity and that vision thing, which
yes.
businesses need to have
yeah.
and sort of make come true.
Yes.
And a nice example.
Absolutely.
Now, we talked a little bit about ethics and profitability, but not at any cost, you said.
Yes.
A great point, that.
Yeah.
A really great point. And on this show, we have a lot of social enterprises,
yes.
businesses making a profit, but investing that profit into social outcomes.
Yes.
We also have a lot of traditional businesses, but values-led businesses.
Yes.
Talking about what's important to them, and,
yeah.
and you know, a lot of businesses who haven't necessarily even heard the term social enterprises do an awful lot of work for their community.
Yes,
but then there are other businesses that we may not necessarily, through a sort of moral view, and everyone is different, and everyone
yes.
will take a different view, but that some people may disapprove of, and those businesses. Everyone is different. Some people don't like tobacco companies, and some people don't like payday lenders. Mm. And I mention this because at the start of the show, I mentioned the news item in terms of Wonga and the Church of England,
yeah.
which had been pilloried for having invested in Wonga, high-interest lender. And Justin Welby started this year saying, you know, this is not acceptable. But of course, lots of people are investing in businesses like that, high growth businesses that deliver returns to shareholders through pension funds. They don't necessarily even know it.
No.
And lots of people, they need their pension funds to deliver. Now, this is a really tough, difficult issue, isn't it? What's your view on first of all, the Wonga issue?
Yeah.
And what's your view on businesses and creating profits and whether they should take a moral view or
yeah.
whether they should take a completely neutral view and simply do what's allowed legally.
Yeah, yeah. I have to say I have a problem with Wonga as a business. That is just my, you know, very sort of strong view on it. Clearly, you know, it's very successful in what it does. I just can't help thinking that it does exploit quite vulnerable people. I think the subtle difference, and again I might be wrong, between tobacco and drinking, for example, is that people maybe have a choice. I can't help thinking, and again, I don't know the statistics, but a lot of people, I suspect, who are using Wonga services probably don't have a choice or don't have a very good choice. There are alternatives, and I think we've got to maybe find ways of helping people do that. So I'm clearly not against profit per se. I just struggle a little bit with the profit by exploiting people. That is just my view of how I see it done. And interestingly, on the social enterprise thing, one of the events that we have, a little network that we have, is called Generation Sheffield, which is the next generation of young entrepreneurs. We did an event yesterday with Sheffield Hallam University. We got about 60 young entrepreneurs, and most of it we feel like the old uns as we sort of help this work. But it's fantastic to see what's going on. But there was one particular lady who sort of said she's got a slight problem because she's got a social enterprise and she has this challenge about profitability. And I said, well, profits doesn't have to be about stuff you put in your back pocket. We talk about maximising financial returns. And if your social enterprise doesn't make commercial sense, it's not going to last very long.
Indeed.
So that, for me, is what this is about. If it's not profit-making, and I mean deliberately non-profit-making, it's about maximising returns on resources and effort. So if I'm given a budget, how do I get the best out of it?
Yes.
So I don't think profit is definitely not a dirty word. We haven't got profit, we haven't got a business, we haven't got a living. I question sometimes where it comes from in some cases, but equally I'd go the other way with the social enterprises and say there's nothing wrong with actually making a commercial sense of what you're doing, because that will help it sustain and hopefully make it better.
Indeed, and Social Enterprise UK, which is the umbrella body for social enterprises in the UK, is very careful to define a social enterprise, something that calls itself a social enterprise. The majority of its income needs to be traded.
Absolutely.
As opposed to grant dependency.
Absolutely.
So bringing in that money, but that's what you do with it in terms of what you do with that surplus, I suppose.
Yep.
So you, you're supporting young entrepreneurs.
Yes.
What barriers are they coming up against?
Well, this session yesterday, what we actually did was fantastic. We actually had a session called Creating Winners, and we had six young entrepreneurs are already doing things very, very well. People like Sophie Maxwell from the Really Neat
College,
which again is a social enterprise, doing an amazing job, making a huge impact. But again, Sophie's got the same issues of it's got to make commercial sense. But we had Jessica Flynn from Jessica Flynn Design, who again, very commercially astute young lady, fantastic, sharing their stories. And I think one of the things that came through, which happened, if I'm honest, I think it happens with most entrepreneurs, is the loneliness of running your own business. Even if you've got lots of employees or even if you've got co-directors, it's still quite a lonely world, or it feels that way. So bringing people together to share experiences, and even if it's, I'm not the only one at this, in this world, is what this is about, which is, again, obviously things like this, getting people to listen to what you're doing, contributing to it, sharing ideas with each other is what it's about. But I think giving people, helping people create time to spend a bit of time thinking about what they're doing and how they're doing it is one of the things that we find quite a powerful way of getting people to engage.
Yes, absolutely crucial. And I suppose getting people to take the view that they can ask for help and advice from others.
Yes. And one of the things that came out very powerfully, again, yesterday's session, was about the power of mentoring. And nearly all the guys, the winners that were sharing their stories had mentors, formally and informally, and questioning and challenging them in terms of what they were doing. So we were encouraging people to do that. And obviously things like the Sheffield Hallam Hatchery has people that can help them do these things, and we often put people in touch with them. But I think one of the things I've also seen, because I've done quite a bit of work around the country with people who are mentoring, people think, oh, I daren't go and ask so-and-so to do this because he or she might not be interested in me. I actually think a lot of entrepreneurs that are established want to help others because they know where they're coming from. And we've actually found that very often they themselves learn from it, because these younger entrepreneurs ask naive questions and it gets them to rethink it and question what they're doing and how they're doing it. So I think it's a very powerful way of doing that.
And that's a really good point as well, because there's often a lot of assumed knowledge. And it's often the case that a business leader or a manager can assume that customers understand what they personally understand about the product.
Absolutely.
Whereas, of course, because the customers don't know the product intimately like your manager or your owner does, they don't. And you need, actually, you need to get someone to pull your own assumptions apart, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that can be in terms of how you run and lead your business. One of the little exercises when we run our programs, we get our MDs, if an entrepreneur running his or her business, we encourage them to go and do a little exercise called Stop, Start, Continue. And Stop, Start, Continue is where you get your team to tell you as a leader what you should stop doing, start doing, continue doing. And we've done it in different ways and get them to write things down. It's just a way of just maybe holding a mirror up. You've got to be very careful. I had one MD who got some feedback from one of his staff that said, stop breathing. It's not the most constructive way of looking at this, but it's a way of just holding the mirror up. But I think you can do the same with your customers. I think a great question to ask your customers is, why do you buy from us? You've got to be careful again how you ask that question. Why do you buy from us can be undermining your business. But what is it they think that you're good at? Maybe what are the things that you need to get better at?
A really good question to ask, and a really good exercise to go through. Not without its risks, as you
Absolutely.
Say. So it needs to be carefully planned and managed, but obviously an effective one.
Absolutely.
Too. We're talking, this is Business Live on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM. We're talking with Andy Hanselman, who works with businesses and helps them look at profitability, sustainability and competitiveness. And Andy has been talking about help he's been giving to young entrepreneurs. And Andy, you've got a book in development, another book in development, I should say. What's the next book about?
The next book is about, we talk about businesses that think in 3D, which is about being dramatically and demonstrably different. And over the last 20-odd years, we've researched and worked with some very, very successful businesses. We've identified 7 characteristics of these successful businesses. And the book is going to be about what those 7 characteristics are. And it's certainly not do these 7 things, everything will be wonderful, everything's easy, but it's some fundamental principles that we see in successful businesses. So one is, as I mentioned earlier, they have that vision thing. They have a clear picture of where they're going and what sort of they need to achieve. And clearly they've got people to buy into that. The second one is actually that they do think in 3D. They're dramatically and demonstrably different. It's about creating remarkable customer experiences. It's about creating the culture that supports and encourages people to take risks. It's about innovation, making things happen. It's also about having a profit focus, getting a clear focus on what they're doing and how they're doing it. And basically what we tend to do is we again, I love what I do. My job is I see examples and work with businesses doing it well. So we try and take those examples and, if I'm honest, put them in a book and sell them to other people. So I get paid for seeing how other people do stuff.
Oh, you're taking your own advice.
But that's exactly it. Yeah, steal with pride is one of the things that we encourage people to do, ethically, of course. But it's about ideas. And again, going back to the networking sessions that we do, we say we have the next generation one. We also have a group of forward-thinking entrepreneurs, established businesses here in Sheffield called Minds of Many, and we get together once a month. And we share ideas, and sometimes we bring other speakers in, but very often it's just somebody picks a topic, and we might have 15, 20 MDs, entrepreneurs of growing businesses, sharing their experiences. And because we've worked with each other for quite some time now, there's a trust, so people will share their problems and issues. But equally, people will give each other suggestions, and that to me is what it's about. It's about creating that community.
Yes, creating that community of support.
Yes, yeah.
Well, Andy, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to have a track of music. Now, this track of music is on a CD that Opus put out. Opus published Now Then magazine, a successful social enterprise in Sheffield, and run Opus Acoustic gigs. Now, this was recorded at Riverside, where Sheffield Live held a gig a couple of weeks ago. And the track we're going to play from the Opus Acoustics at the Riverside CD is by Rosie Plain, and it's called Stolen Shark. You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live with me, Jamie Veitch, broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org. And that was a Rosie Plain track, which was put out by Opus Independence on an acoustic CD, Opus at the Riverside. Opus is a Sheffield-based social enterprise which publishes the Arts Culture Monthly Now Then magazine and operates a distribution service for local businesses. And also puts on gigs. Get a copy of that CD if you can. It's fantastic. I'm joined in the studio by Andy Hanselman, who's been talking about businesses improving their bottom line. Andy, welcome back.
Thank you.
So your focus has often been about customers. What does the customer want? And that's easy to say, yeah. But actually you're taking your kind of lateral minded take a look from another perspective,
yeah,
and take a look through the eyes of someone who I suppose doesn't know what you know about your business.
Okay.
unpick things,
yeah.
Now you've given some tips about measuring aspects of your business and how a lot of businesses measure things that actually aren't necessarily the things they should be measuring.
No, yeah. I mean, clearly the finances are important. One of the things for me is getting back to the profitability thing. But for me, it's also about measuring things like customer satisfaction. Very simple things to find out what your customers think. We often talk, and again, nobody likes the phrase, but we talk about customer delight, which is not have a nice day, but it's about exceeding customers' expectations. As I mentioned before, in some cases, some sectors I've worked in, simply doing stuff on time, on budget, exceeds expectations. But it's how do we do that? And one of the sort of very simple things that we get people to do, a lot of clients I see, they get their customers to score them out of 10. And they score them out of 10, and if they score them a 7 or an 8, they think, well, that's okay, and they'll get away with it. And one of the things we encourage our clients to ask their customers is, are you completely happy with what we've done, yes or no? Why not? Completely happy. Yeah. Now, even if people say no, you can hopefully spot what the issue is and deal with it. So it's a very simple question, and everybody sometimes gets a bit scared to ask it. But asking that question and then helping people solve the problems is a C one. So I think asking people, are you completely happy, is one. Other couple of questions, as I mentioned before, is why do you buy from us?
Yep.
And another one is interesting. Why do you buy from us, and when do you go to our competitors? And again, very often what I see people sometimes do is they say things like, how could we improve? And people things like, communicate better. I think if you could actually say something like, what one thing could we do better?
Yes.
So you're trying to get quite specific conversations going.
And that kind of specificity,
yes,
is coming out here. The question in terms of what one thing leads to a really specific answer.
Yeah.
That's great. And the question in terms of are you completely happy? Obviously, again, I suppose lots of businesses may be scared,
yes,
about asking that,
yeah,
because they they think, well, completely happy. That's a really big, you're setting the bar very high. But by asking that question, they're likely to get much more effective feedback that they can use to improve their business, as well as good positive comments.
Sure.
Far more effective feedback.
Absolutely. But what it also might highlight is that some customers' expectations are actually too high, inverted commas, for what you can do for the money that you're offering, that you're providing it for. But if you understand that, there's an argument then that you can at least then start trying to manage customers' expectations. So people, so a very simple example, I might run a seminar and I ask that question, and sometimes people might say things like, the seats were uncomfortable. Now, there's nothing I can necessarily do about that in the hotel I've been running it at, but at least I can let the hotel know.
You can indeed.
And I maybe not use that hotel next time if it was that big a deal. But it's just a way of getting sort of conversations going. But equally, as I say, sometimes people's expectations, I think expectations are getting higher, are too high. And going back to this thing about making commercial sense, we can all give stuff away. You know, it's got to make sense for us as a business to make it work. So it's just a conversation starter is the way I would use that question.
Yes, and that's a good point. Now, another of your tips is to get your suppliers on board. Get your suppliers to be working for you.
Yes.
Well, to be assisting you in promoting your business.
Yes. Yeah.
How do businesses do
that? Well, it's interesting. I was once running a program up in Durham, and one of the things we do, we have a program where we get maybe a group of directors from different businesses together, spread over 6 months, a day a month over 6 months. And we were running this program up in Durham, and I got 14 entrepreneurs on the program, and one of them said, I did a brilliant thing the other day. He said, I rang our accountants up, and the accountant said, hiya, John, you don't normally hear from you till March the 31st, everything all right? He said, no, I know you don't. He said, I'm sick of it. All that happens is I put everything in a box, and I send it off to you, and then 3 or 4 months later, this box comes back in a bit of a mess with two brown envelopes, one with a bill and one something I've got to send to Land Revenue. He says, I'm sick of it. He said, I want you to come up with 10 ideas how you can add value to my business, please, by Friday. And I put the phone down on him. And I said, and what happened? He said, sure enough, these ideas got emailed through. Mm. So I got these 14 entrepreneurs on the program. I said, let's all do that. Let's all try it. And when we come back next month, we'll see how we've got on. So they all went off. I didn't have to wait a month. I got a call about 5 days later. Is that Andy Hanselman? I said, yes. It's so-and-so accountants here. What on earth is this adding value stuff? I've had 9 of my clients ring me up. And as it turns out, of the 14 people on the program, 9 of them had got the same accountant.
The same accountant.
To be fair to him, he did actually, he wrote me a letter later to say, it's one of the best things I've ever done, because he's created more business for me. I've taken those 10 ideas and sent them to my other customers. So I'm not saying go to your suppliers and just try and screw them down on price.
Nope.
Just ask that question, how can you add value? And it could be they could give you better terms. They could train and develop your people on how to use their products better. It's just lots of different ways. It's just a question. I'd argue if suppliers come back with nothing, maybe that's when you start saying, are there other suppliers? So I'm
Indeed.
Not saying beat them up. I'm saying use it as a way to build into your dramatic difference.
Fabulous. Really interesting points there, Andy. And, of course, people can find out more about your ideas, not only from your website, which is andyhanselman.com, but also in your books, and by listening to your weekly podcast.
Yes, if they go on the website, or they can go onto iTunes and get it, but they go on the website and they can sign up for it, and we just send an email every month, just every week, rather, to remind them that it's there.
Fabulous. Well, Andy Hanselman, Andy Hanselman Consulting, thank you for joining me today on Business Live. And we're going to... We'll be back next week from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m, so please, listeners, tune in then. But don't go away right now, because next up on Sheffield Live is our fantastic folk programme, broadcasting today from 10 through to 11. We're going to play out with a track of music by another local musician, Michael J. Tinker, and his band Bright Season, and the track Shenandoah.